Yeah, so we thank God, you know, that we carry on to learn from him and we carry on to understand him. And, you know, we've been learning at the School of the Spirit and we are learning how to hear from God and how to grow into maturity and what are the things that, you know, God brings our way. And as he walks us into that journey of growth. And one of the things that God warns us about is really about the danger of seducing spirits. And this is one of the things that easily lead us away from the truth. And scripture has been keen to warn us that, you know, the reality is as you walk this life, there are things that come to entice us, to move us away from the truth. And these are actually spirits that are usually on assignment. And you can think of this story that is said of by sailors that, you know, that these people who used to be on the sea, that one of the reasons why they will call some of these spirits like mummy water or mermaids is that they will see these women in the water and, you know, in their thoughts when they are going to them. And then they find that, you know, that they were, you know, they drowned or they were led into, you know, into encounter with either a creature or a demon. And it was something that was seducing or enticing them. Now, you see, when you think of seduction is really a spirit or an action that appeals to our own desires. You can think of when Eve was in the garden, and what happens is that the tempter, or who the serpent, came and twisted the truth. You know, seduction does not go far away from the truth in that it uses the truth to confuse us or to deceive us. Because what the serpent said to Eve was, did God really say, you know, that if you eat of this tree of this fruit of this tree that you shall surely die? And he said, no, you shall not die, but you shall become like God. You understand? And so when the woman saw the fruit, that it was good for food and it was desirable for gaining wisdom, and that is where the seduction came in that she saw the food. And she saw the fruit and it looked good for food. Yes, she had so much food in the garden, but the flesh wanted a taste of that which was forbidden. And the thing about seduction or seducing spirits is that they lead us into forbidden things, forbidden desires of the flesh, forbidden wisdom, things that we should not be knowing, things that are wisdoms not of God, but they are wisdoms of this world. And mostly they lead us into desiring a glory, because she desired to be like God, a glory that is not according to the glory that God desires to give us. Now, let us just look at some scriptures and then be able to build up a case from it and see how God will help us to deal with that danger of seducing spirits. Now, we'll start with looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and from verse 1 to 6. Now, the Bible says, now the Spirit expressly or clearly says that in latter times, that is in the end times or in later times, which is where we are now, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits. So these are the spirits that deceive people, and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from food that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Now, I'll pause there, but you can read up to verse 6. But what the Holy Spirit was warning us through the writings of Paul to Timothy, that it is very clear that in the last days, what will happen, in latter times, some will depart from the faith. That means that these are people who started, they were in the faith, they started in the right way, they had the right teaching, But then along the way, they started hearing and devoting themselves to deceiving spirits. And you can see it says to the doctrine, the teachings. In fact, King James puts it at the doctrine of demons, the teachings of demons. Now, it says that this kind of teachings comes from people who are liars, the insincerity of liars, and whose consciences are seared. You can find someone is living in sin, but they believe that they are not sinful. You can see this person, yes, he's a prophet, he calls himself a prophet, but anyone that follows his life can see scandal after scandal, and there is so much immorality, and there's so much, you know, stealing, and there's so much fighting, but you see this person cannot repent or has not gotten to the point of repentance. Why? Because that thing in them that should tell them this is wrong has been seared, it has been burned. Now, these deceitful liars and deceitful teachers, once they sear their consciences and once they now start living in sin and doing things that are not right, like, you know, like stealing from people, what God does is that he moves his spirit out of them and he leaves them alone. But then what the enemy does is that he replaces the Holy Spirit with a seducing spirit or with a deceiving spirit. So now another spirit comes to live in this prophet, and this person, this prophet can even have the one of the largest followings in the world. This person can have many followers in many places. But you see, that person, since he has rejected God, he is no longer operating under the Holy Spirit, but a deceiving or a deceitful spirit or a seducing spirit has taken over. And so when this person starts to teach, they bring some truth, but then they mix it with error. They mix it with error. Now, unless God brings you to the place of discernment, unless through the word of God you are able to distinguish this is not the right spirit, you can also be led away. Now, if we look at, and this is what I had started with, how do these, you know, false spirits or seducing spirits appeal to that flesh, appeal to that, what are the things that they appeal to? And we look at James chapter 1, verse, okay, yeah, maybe we can look at 1 John. Just let's look at 1 John, and the Bible says that 1 John chapter 2, when we look at 1 John chapter 2 from verse 15, and it says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Anyone that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes. Okay, maybe just the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the Bible says, and the world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Now, the Bible is telling us that what the seducing spirits do is that they appeal to our lusts. Now, our lusts or our evil desires occur in three levels. One is the lust of the flesh, and this is the first place where people lust after, in that there is a desire for your body to be satisfied. When we speak of that flesh, we speak of that evil nature. That sinful nature that is in any human being, that desires to be satisfied. So you can find that someone believes that, oh, I'm dreaming about this person to be my wife, not because God is leading them, but just because there's something, there's a beauty they have seen in this person, or maybe they want to, you know, to satisfy their flesh. And just as a result of that, then they are led by seduction. Why do people fall into adultery? It is because of seducing spirits. you can find that someone will say, I don't even know what happened, or I don't know what led me into it. Why? But because you see, the seducing spirits were appealing to that desire to be satisfied, the desire of the flesh. And then you've seen the pride of life. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, speaks to that aspect of the mind, you know, of thoughts, you know, where you want to see. What do you see? How do the things glitter? You know, how is the thing making you wise? How will you look in the eyes of man? The pride of life thinks of glory, you know, money, wealth, pleasure, you know, how you will do great things. And the thing is, there is a difference between doing great things and God doing great things through you. Those are two different things. Yes, you can want to do amazing things, and you can do so many things. You can be the best in the world. But there is a difference between you achieving that through human effort and God achieving that through you for His glory. And that is the danger of where something that is good ends up becoming an idol instead of God using that good thing to bring out His glory in you. Now, think of Simon the sorcerer and Peter. Peter was preaching and he was laying his hands, you know, on people, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that Simon said, take this money, that anyone that I lay my hands on will also receive this gift. Give me this power. Now, Simon wanted the power. Yes, the power would have been good. Why? What was the power being used for? The power was being used to lay hands on people and then receiving the Holy Spirit. So, is that a good thing? Yes, it is. But you see, the motive of Simon the sorcerer was different. The motive was so that So the difference comes in when we shift our focus. What seduction does, or seducing spirits do, is they shift our focus from what God is doing to what we can do. And those are two different things, no matter how good it is. He was asking for a good thing, for power to lay his hands on people so that they can receive the Holy Spirit. But his desire was wrong. It was, so whenever I put my hands, it was not whenever God wants to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to people. You see, there is a difference. And that's why Jesus will speak and say that for you, any time is right. But for me, I only do what I see my Father does. Now, that is the place of maturity, where it is no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives. Where it's no longer you praying according to your desires, but praying according to the desires that God places in your heart, and according to how God has fine-tuned your desires, that it's no longer you what you want, but what God wants. Now, the danger of seducing spirits is that they lead you to that place where you focus and you shift your focus from what God is doing to what you can do, from what God can do through you to what you can do for yourself. Even though at the end we'll say, no, it is God. No. At the end of the day, we need to ask ourselves, if we examine ourselves, is this desire from God? Are we doing it? Are we being led by God? Or we are the ones who are leading ourselves? The Bible warns us that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. He is like a devouring lion, you know. He moves around like a lion seeking for someone to devour. The slave girl that was calling out to Paul when they were preaching, the Bible says she was saying, these are servants of the Most High God. They're showing you the way of righteousness. These are servants of the Most High God. She was saying the truth, but she was not speaking from the spirit of truth. She had accuracy of the information. Even the demons, when they met Jesus, they say, Son of God, what have you come to do with us? Have you come to kill us or to judge us before our time? So they could point out, they could affirm that these are men of God, but those spirits were not of God. Now, let us look at Proverbs and see what and see how it relates to us about this issue of seduction. Now, Proverbs chapter 5, and it speaks of the adulterous woman. Proverbs chapter 5 from verse 3, and I will read from the Message, which uses the word seduction, but other versions can use adulterous woman, loose woman, strange woman, you know, immoral woman. But it says that the lips of a seductive woman are oh so swift, sweet. Her soft words are oh so smooth. But it won't be so long before she gravel in your mouth. She's gravel in your mouth. She's a stone in your mouth, a pain in your gut, a wound in your heart. She's dancing down the perfumed path to death. She's headed straight for hell and taking you with her. She hasn't a clue about real life and about who she is or where she is going. Other versions say that the lips of an adulterous woman drip with honey. That means they are sweet, they are smooth. So, verse 7, so my friend, listen closely and don't treat my words casually. Keep your distance from such a woman. Absolutely stay out of a neighborhood. You don't want to squander your wonderful life, to waste your precious life among the hard-hearted. Why should you allow strangers to take advantage of you? Why be exploited by those who care for nothing for you? You don't want to end your life full of regrets, nothing but sins and bones, saying, oh, why didn't I do what they told me? Why did I reject a disciplined life? Why didn't I listen to my mentors or take my teachers seriously? My life is ruined. I haven't one blessed thing to show for my life. I've said a number of things. I've said seducing spirits, they appeal to our flesh, to our old man, to our sensual cravings, our desires for human wisdom, our longings for the pride of life. I've also said that seducing spirits, they twist the truth of God and add a lie to it. That's why it's very easy to confuse it for the truth. Another thing that is also important is seducing spirits also come with signs. They can do miracles. And seducing spirits can have replaced the Holy Spirit in prophets. People could have started right, but along the way, they lose it. That means the Bible says the coming of the lawless one will come with miracles and signs that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. You see, now the goal of seducing spirits is to lead you to serve another God. And I've spoken about the other God, which is mammon, which is money. The other God can be status, it can be wisdom, it can be wealth. You can think that, oh, you are the wisest people, you are the illuminated, you are the Illuminati, you are the rich, you are the, have the high status, you are doing big things, you know, our churches are big things and all these things. But you see, when your focus is on that prosperity, but not on God prospering his servants and God giving you prosperity for a purpose, then you are led to seducing spirits. Someone can be preaching the right message, but you, because of maybe your carnal nature, you're being appealed towards carnality instead of being appealed towards God. Their ultimate purpose is your complete and total destruction. So, but how can we be warned and how can we stay clear of seducing spirits? The Bible tells us that the word of God, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, for the word of God that speaks is alive and active, is living and active, full of power, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Remember, if you read about, you know, the Proverbs 5, it says that the words of an immoral woman are a two-edged sword, are like a two-edged sword. But you see, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Look at the difference. The word of God is sharper. The mouth of the adulterous woman may be as sharp as a, it may be as sharp as a two-edged sword. That means seduction can be sharp. And those guys who seduce can be very smart. But God is saying that the word of God is sharper than it, is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest part of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Verse 13 is very important. And not a creature exists. And here the spirits are created beings, so they are creatures. And not a creature exists that is concealed or is hidden from his sight, who is the Word, and from the Word of God. And that Word of God lives in us. So nothing is hidden from the spiritual man who lives with the Word of God in him. And all and not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I tell you, when you have the word of God, deceiving spirits, seducing spirits are naked, are powerless, they are open and exposed, they are not hidden. In fact, they are clear. For you, you can see this person is a false prophet. He might have masses, he might have people, he might have crowds, but this is falsehood. Now, the masses are blinded because the Bible says the God of this world has blinded the mind of unbelievers that they can, he shields them from the truth and he takes them captive at his own will. But you see, when you encounter the word of God and when the word of God lives in you, you can be in a place and you know that this message is wrong. In fact, there are spiritual signs that God can give you that you will not, you might not even know what is wrong with it. But in your spirit, your inward witness will not agree with that message. But you can be in a place where you don't understand much what he's saying, but your inner man, your spirit agrees with that message. So you see, there's a difference. So just because you don't understand it does not mean that it could be, even if you don't understand it, it can either be right or wrong. But the inner man, your inner witness, the inward witness of the Holy Spirit is able to either agree and bear witness with the word. And that's why those people who tell dollars fake from the real, they don't spend their time looking at the fake dollars. They only spend their time looking at the real, such that when the fake appears, they can spot it. So our job is to keep living by the word, staying in the word, listening to the word. And as we stay by the word, it is sharper than that double-edged sword. The double-edged sword of a seductive woman, of an immoral woman, the word of God is sharper than it. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it is able to divide not only the soul, it's also divide the spirit, it's also to divide the attitudes, the intentions of the heart of man. And you can know that this man of God that is speaking is really after my money, or is under the control of the spirit of mammon, of the spirit of or demonic spirit. Yet the person might be a mighty man of God to others. There is a danger of seducing spirits, and that's the place where God is warning us today, that what is being appealed to our hearts. Peter was right in what he was doing. But you see, the carnality in Simon the sorcerer was driving him to carnality. He was being seduced into carnality. So right now, people are maybe you're fasting and someone is fasting for power out of carnality, out of that desire to be a big man of God or to be great so that he can also have, people can give him money, he can also have big cars and big ministries. That thing that was good, your flesh has arisen and has been led seductively to desire the wrong thing. Instead of you asking God, work in me if there is power that is necessary to heal the sick, and at this point you need to do that, work through me. What does God want to do through us? The Bible says when it comes to ministry, let us wait. Let us wait. Let us wait on God. Jesus waited until the time was right. Until he was 30 years is when he started the ministry. Until he went to the wilderness and he came full of the Spirit is when now he began that ministry. There is a place for waiting. And that is a place where our flesh is put to death. It's put to death. We such that it's no longer anything about us. The way that we will escape the seducing spirits, because the Bible tells us that that when tempted, no one should say that God is tempting me, because everyone is tempted by their own evil desires. By their own evil desires, they are led astray. We must constantly put our flesh to death, put our old man to death. And that way, then we will escape the seductions of seducing spirits, which at times offer good things. It could be a job. But that spirit is a seducing spirit because it's moving you away from your place of influence. It's moving you away from the place of blessing where God has blessed you and where God has apportioned your lot and your part. May God give us the wisdom. May we stay in the Word to be able to discern the truth from the falsehood and to stay clear and free of seducing spirits. I'll stop there and I pray that God will give us insight into this even more. My brother, you're welcome.
For sure. Amen.
Okay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you that you have come to speak to us and to warn us. And I pray for eyes to be opened for where we have fallen prey to seducing spirits, where we are running after our own flesh and running after our own evil desires. We ask for your mercy and your forgiveness. I pray that indeed may we focus on you. May we wait on you. May we wait to be guided, to be taught by you, to be led by you, O God. And I pray for those that are lost, those that are under false spirits, those are under false teachings and false doctrines and doctrines of demons. I pray that you bring them to light, that their eyes be opened, that every scales in their eyes fall away, and that indeed may they walk in the light, in the newness, and in truth. I pray for everyone that has needs today, that Lord, may you meet them at their point of need. That, Lord, indeed, all glory and honor goes back to your holy name. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed day ahead.